Okay, so I was on this stage last year talking to you about web pages, like, and whether we should do web pages and what it might look like. Everyone can see that, right? Good. It's just marked down. So now we're really into the insider stuff because I don't even have slides. And we were thinking about this last night. We had a bit of a chat about this, and we put this stuff together, and we were thinking about, you know, do we still need web pages? What does web pages mean if we do it? How is it built? Do we build it on top of MVC? Do we just reuse the bits of MVC? I'm interested to hear people's feedback. Personally, I still think there's value in a page-centric ASP.NET model. I'm not convinced that it should be like the old web pages. I think it was too weird, the old web pages. I'm not sure it added a lot of value. I'm not sure it should be like ASPX web pages as well. I think if we're going to do it, there's really two ways we can go. We can either just make Razor as it works in MVC pretty much work standalone, but add a couple of more directives so you can do more things that you would usually do in the controller. Or we can go a lot further and try and build a really page-centric application model for ASP.NET, like something called Razor Pages. Like, it's an actual thing that you wouldn't generally even have C# in separately. Everything would be done, and a lot of things would be implied for you. And my partner has showed up. That's nice. Come down, sir. We have started without you. So I asked, like, do we need it at all? Like, do people still see a value in a page-centric model? Like, personally, I find MVC just very cumbersome for doing pages. I think it's fantastic for APIs, but for doing pages, take away model binding. Like, model binding is obviously valuable. We want that. We want validation. But the concept of having to have a controller with an action method that returns a view, that then renders HTML, just seems like a lot of overhead to me personally, even though I know some people like it. Yes? Yeah, so the comment was, I think it would be useful for that static site generation thing. So it's funny you say that, because we even like talked about maybe line 26 there. What if we built a Razor Pages model that was equally at home running on the server or running completely ahead of time, maybe with some restrictions, to just emit HTML, like turn it into a static site generator? Does that sound like something that might be useful? Okay, so that was one of the ideas I had a few weeks ago when thinking about why would we invest in building yet another ASP.NET pages model? How can we differentiate? How can we do something different than we've done before? Maybe supporting the concept of just statically generating the site ahead of time. And again, it would have to be restricted. Like, you can't do everything, obviously, in that model. But all the layout primitives and certain things like that would obviously just work, partials and et cetera, but none of the runtime stuff would work. So if we found any of that stuff, it would fail, and you'd have to remove it. So, okay, it sounds like there is some interest in that. Did you have a comment?
A lot of scenarios with static site generators, not necessarily site generator, but if I were to create, for example, an invoice,
yep,
an HTML, that thing is not going to change.
Right.
My blog, and don't change my post like every day. So those can pretty much be statically generated,
yep,
served by anything from Kestrel to IIS. But right now Razor is deeply embedded with MVC, and I will see a huge value in being able to run it from the command line without anything else.
Okay.
But there are different things. There's a page. Page model,
mm-hmm,
which deliver pages to client, all generating static websites.
So the comment here is that aren't they really just different models? Like, why would we try to conflate them, I guess?
Yeah, but I personally don't see value in,
okay,
page, file generated web pages, a la PHP, web pages.
Yep.
I don't see much value in them. I see value in using Razor as a templating engine.
Okay. So your comment was you see less value in just a server-based page model,
yes,
but you see more value in a static file generator that uses Razor.
You know.
Okay, that's interesting. That's certainly an interesting idea.
Some more questions?
That's fine.
Emails or...
Oh, yeah, emails. So now, those type of things, obviously, we talked about that briefly in the previous... whether we first class something like page generator, which was much more constrained in what it could do, but would be very good. I think there's a difference between static page generation and static site generation, where you want to actually emit things that have links between each other and all that type of thing. Like, you need different constructs to be able to achieve that, and thus you need a little more complexity. But yeah, I think they both have value. Any comments on that before I talk about other? Yeah.
I like the crack economy aspect of it, where it's easy to get started.
Yes.
Especially for get the kids in.
Yep, so you're okay, so if I paraphrase again, is that you like the fact that a page-based server model is very easy to get started. Like, you literally go to a folder, you create default.cshtml or index.cshtml or index.razor. Say it was a different extension because it's a different model. And then I go in there and I just type some code.
Yeah.
And then I have HTML. Yeah, that is one of the nice things about just getting started with a page-based model. You can always grow up into an MVC-centric model if you need to. And that comes up to one of the questions is like, do we need, like 27, do we build it on top of MVC or not? Or is it really 29 that we care about? Like, if I have Razor assets that are currently page-centric and then I wanted to make the jump to views, if it's, I could just copy and paste them into views and most of it would still work, right? I mean, yeah. I mean, it is a very different model, right? I mean, in MVC, you'll be doing a lot more stuff in the controllers. And in a page-centric model, you'll be doing practically everything, except maybe very service-oriented stuff in the page. And so it is a very different split. Yep.
Like web pages.
That's a very valid concern.
Yeah. I just don't think it's worth the time and energy.
Yep. So the point here is that...
I think not calling it web pages would be great.
Yeah. So the point here was that the concern is that if we were to do something like this, it just looks like yet another PHP compete. And as such, we'll put a bunch of investment into it, and then it'll just get abandoned again in 3 years where no one ends up using it, or it can never possibly get the scale that PHP can. I think web pages, it's fair to say, was loved by few, but it was really loved by a few people, but just wasn't used by many, right? And that... Yeah, maybe it's because no one knows about it. I mean, it only ran on Windows, so the there's a lot of those things as well.
Because the name
was, and the name was for
terrible,
too,
right?
Searchable.
The name is ASP.NET web pages. I mean, really? Like, I don't care how good your Google Foo is, but like, you cannot find content. Like, that is terrible. So like this line number four about what should it feel like? Do we just try and mimic? I mean, this addresses your point. If we just build another PHP clone, like what have we really achieved other than you can do PHP with C# and some of the cool stuff? I think it needs to be something better or different if we're going to do it. Like, it needs to have a reason for existing. Yes?
Tooling. If you're able to somehow provide really productive tooling, then it has a value add.
Sure.
But if you're selling mm-hmm. with IntelliSense, then I don't see the advantage. But if you're able to put tooling around it because of its concept...
What kind of tooling, though? I mean, like, it's code-focused.
Tooling aren't the magic. Tag helpers are the magic.
Yeah. So, I mean, the comment was about if we can make really good tooling, that is one way to differentiate. I agree. Tooling is one way to differentiate. I don't think it's a crutch we should lean on all the time.
The tooling won't be cross-platform.
And tooling is not cross-platform. Like, Visual Studio is our pinnacle tooling. VS Code doesn't have a Razor editor yet, a good one yet. It will, but it doesn't right now. If you look at line 10 here, I do think that if we are going to do anything, we want to use the good stuff of ASP.NET 5 and MVC, right? Like, we wouldn't do this unless we can get the good Razor constructs, like layouts and partials and directives and those things. Do we extend Razor even further beyond what Taylor and I just talked about, specifically for this type of model? I think we would if we were going to do this, and I'll show you some ideas in just a minute. Obviously, we would want tag helpers. All right, that's a really big thing that you would use in a page-based model. You want model binding. You want to be able to take stuff that's coming in from the request, bind it onto C# objects, and do validation, do all that good stuff. You just can't do it the way you did in MVC, because in MVC, you did it at the controllers, right? It happens in the action method. Here, you would have to have a new construct or just helper methods that did it in the page. You need authentication authorization. Now, today in ASP.NET 5, you do a bunch of stuff in startup, which, you know, it's fine, but maybe startup shouldn't belong in a world like this. I'm not sure. Or at least is not required in a world like this. Maybe it works if you have it, but maybe there's a default one. So how do you do auth, and how do you specify what's an authentication authorization? Routing. So, you know, obviously the page name on disk would be the default route, but I want to be able to specify custom route so I can capture data from the URL. Okay, routing is really powerful specifically for that. And maybe I want different routes to end up at the same page. You know, if get and a post is different, but I want to go to the same page in a nice constructive way. What about other middleware? And if we assume that this app model is just, there's really just one piece of middleware, which is the Razor Pages middleware, what if I want to compose other middleware in there? Do we support that? Do we let you drop in a startup CS and then now you've sort of fallen off the cliff and you have to add everything that we were doing automatically for you? I'm not sure. Do we have a different startup construct, startup.razor or something like that? Like, I don't know. Like, we've got some ideas. I'm going to show you in just a minute. But these are just talking points that we're thinking about. What about point 18? Like, is C# as it exists now actually the right language for building a page-centric model?
It is.
Or is something like CSX, which is C# with some of the...
Less noise.
Less noise. Like, yeah. Assuming that if you prescribe to a certain model, a certain thing that you don't get to change, you just want to fit inside a nice little box and know, I have to write the app this way, is something that's a little higher level than C# a better fit? But it's still obviously C#, right? And again, we have some ideas that I'll show you in a minute, see what that code looks like. Yes?
Well, keep it simple. Don't make it another fully featured thing like MVC. Because where I see every day value of web pages like they exist now is that they are simple and they allow people to learn C#.
Yes.
Because what is great is that web pages today hide from you entire object-oriented paradigm.
They do, yes, that's true.
And it's a good thing,
okay,
because the people are able to learn C# this way. I remember the magic when I started many years ago with ASP. I knew HTML, I knew kind of VBScript from Office, I was able to create something magic and it worked.
Mm-hmm.
So don't create another C#, let the C# there and the people will graduate to more complicated solution. Don't add model binding, don't add complicated routing, because do not let it compete with MVC.
So the comment is, you know, if you add all these things from MVC, doesn't it become, I'm gonna paraphrase, it's gonna become a competitor to MVC, and maybe that's not what it should be. Do we think of this more as a bridge to MVC? Now personally, I can start with this.
Simple things.
Simple things.
Pages and one contact form. 90% of all websites everywhere are 10 static pages and one contact form. This is the tool for them.
Right, so if it's a very simple site with three pages, mostly static, I'm not even doing any type of posting, like no model binding, that this is the tool, but as soon as you do that, you go to MVC. I'm not sure I agree with that personally, but that's an interesting point of view.
I always use my podcast sites.
Yep.
Answer when it's this developer's life, they're all web pages.
Yep.
They are three pages.
Yeah, oh, really?
Yeah, dude. Interesting. They are three pages. Sites that are a for loop to a database.
Yep.
And they actually were written in Web Matrix and they talk to an SDF file.
Yep. It's like liveasp.net, right? Liveasp.net is two pages.
And they scale because they talk to a SDF file that's like a little embedded database. Remember that?
Yeah.
And they have a cache, a really aggressive cache. And they run on shared Azure websites. They're a gateway drug to MVC. But I always feel bad making one pagers.
But it's funny, let me just comment on what you say. You say they're a gateway drug to MVC, but what I also heard you say is that these sites will never be MVC because they haven't
needed
to be MVC.
They're too small.
They taught me web development, right? So like I'm a 15-year-old kid,
right.
I want to bang out an index.cshtml and then run it.
Sure.
That's PHP.
Sure.
Then when it gets to the point where I need to do something else, then I start using MVC.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man, like web pages are great.
Hang on, let's be clear. I think we should do something. This is about discussing what we should do. How far do we go in building a page-centric model? Do we do something like web pages, which was fully functional and had binding-like features? They were horrible. These are dynamic a lot and all that type of crap.
That's awesome.
Or do we try and build something that utilizes the good stuff from MVC, the good model binding system, the good routing system? You don't have to use those things. You can just do a scripting page with a bunch of if statements.
I think you keep the middleware to a minimum. You keep the routing. You make the routing like smarty routes.
I'll show you what we have in mind in just a second. Yes.
You're next. Language,
so the point was, if you're going to think about a different language, maybe JavaScript? No.
TypeScript.
Absolutely not. If you want to do that, then you can use Node. we're not going to build that. I mean, this will still be C#. It's still ASP.NET. Yes.
As I told before, personally, I don't see much value in web pages, but some others do.
Yep.
So also, not many are using it, as you stated. So what is about making Razor possible to do that?
Right, so the point was, rather than, I guess, us building web pages, why don't we just add more Razor extensibility, kind of what we talked about for the first hour, such that if people think there is a need for that, they can build it themselves because Razor becomes easier to extend and you can. I mean, like I said, with tag helpers, you're getting kind of there. If you could easily add new directives, you could, you know, now you could build new constructs. If we pushed more of the layout primitives down from MVC into the core Razor runtime, you've practically got a page engine at that point, of a rudimentary one, but you have one. Is that enough? The point is, if we did that, is that all we should do? And then just say, well, if you want to do something else, it's up to you, but we're all going to go on MVC? Or do we do a little bit more?
Because you seem to have to need that Microsoft has to build it, because it wouldn't be accepted from the other people.
Yeah, the point is, if Microsoft doesn't build it, maybe it doesn't get accepted.
It's a different view.
Here, yes. Yep.
I cannot take Visual Studio and MVC in
the
classroom.
Yep.
VS Code plus whatever this is, I can do.
So the point is, in simple environments with learners, like high schools, where they don't have Visual Studio, but perhaps they can just run VS Code, having a, having a fully featured sort of page-based app model would be good, because it's easier to introduce them to ASP.NET.
And like, I don't want to start this again, but you could totally call this Razor Pages.
I know, I'd actually made that comment.
Would not be controversial.
Razor Pages. In fact, you'll see when I
would love it.
I want to answer like one more question, then I want to actually show you what we came up with last night, and then you can rip that to shreds. Yes.
One of the directives you could put in would be like an action directives. It would literally be the MVC action.
Yeah, so that was some of the first ideas. Yep. So the comment was we could have an action directive so that the action gets specified in the page. And in fact, what am I going
to
show you? And then you can migrate to MVC. What I'm going to show you is a little bit, you could kind of squint like that, but, and the ideas we had last year were more like that, where it was actually built on MVC and it was more controllerless MVC than it was a web pages framework.
Right.
Right? So that it was actually still MVC under the covers, but you just didn't have to write the controllers, you write the code in the page. We've kind of shifted our thinking right now to explore, and this is not, none of this is guaranteed, right? We're going down a thought process now, a thought experiment about what if we didn't do that and instead we freed ourselves up from the burden of having to implement it in MVC, but still being able to use all the great features and did something that was truly page-centric with new Razor constructs. So that's what I want to show you. This is a really good discussion. There's a lot of different good opinions here, a lot of good feedback. Let me show you what I came up with, okay? So here is a Razor page that I wrote last night. It is literally, here's my app. This is customers.razor, right?
Love it.
You see, I have some underscores here. These are things that I will, just like they are today, underscore means it doesn't get served, doesn't participate in requests to get called by, it's just a component that gets called by other things.
No,
I just wrote this in VS Code.
PM code.
This is just me, this is a spec, right? This is how I do specs. So let me walk through. So here's like a layout directive. Here's how I set the layout page, right? So I have a page called layout. There it is. So I've set my layout page. And yeah, funnily enough, it just looks like a layout page does today, right? Render section, I can flush async, like all the goodness that we have today.
Render section can be simpler with built-in tag helpers.
We could potentially make section a tag helper, but as we discussed before, I don't want us to devolve into...
You don't make tag helpers.
I understand.
You don't let them do it themselves. You just include three or four that a 12-year-old would want.
No, I get that. So the comment is, but what I was going to say is that I don't want to, I'm still cognizant of the danger of having Razor just evolve into tag helpers being used for everything that they weren't really intended for.
I totally understand.
But I
render section, render body.
Totally. We could totally do that. All right. So I can import stuff. We talked about the import directive. So I can import my page imports. So here's my page imports. Where are they? Here, right? So I define my base route in my page imports. Say that everything here is going to listen to slash pages, okay? And then under that, I can add my tag helpers. Maybe there's some implicit tag helpers that you add by default, and then maybe you can add other ones, but this is just to show that this is where directives go. So let me go back to my page. Then I can say I have an authorized directive. This page requires that you be admin, okay? Haven't figured out where you would specify what admin means yet, but let's say that I'm saying I have to be an admin. This is just like the authorize attribute in MVC, effectively, right? I can inject stuff from my DI system. In this model, we posited what if, rather than you having to reference things that you create all the time and configure DI, DI was just implied. So my customer repo, look down here, here's my customer repo class. It's a CSX file. I have hash service on the top. That puts it in DI. All right, now it's available everywhere else and it can be injected. If I declare it as a service by using hash service, it can be injected into anything else. Super simple, drop dead simple DI. I don't have to worry about referencing things. It's just, here's a class, put it in the service container, inject it over here. Similarly, my AppDB context, just EF, right? Just EF, nothing special. I have an AppDB context over here. All right, there it is. Note the mess is gone. Like, I don't get to change the class name. It's a file called AppDB context. So I get a class called AppDB context that has one public member. Okay? If I go back to my repo, I inject that in. So now I have a DB property on this class. So I can use that throughout. And here's my normal sort of repository type CRUD, you know, rubbish. Get all, takes in some paging stuff. This is all the standard stuff you would see anywhere, right? Very, very simple CRUD, right? Then I go back, and you could do all this in line in the page, but I wanted to show some of the idea around code composition that we had, that if you did want to keep it separate, you could, and it would be nice and clean. So now I come back to my actual customer. That's my model, by the way. That's my customer. Just a class with a couple of properties. Annotations for doing validation, just like we do today, no different. Let's go back to my file. So now I've injected all that stuff in. Standard razor block, this stuff will always run. Think of this file as top-down execution, okay? Just runs top-down. Here's my section. I'm not passing data between the page and the layout here. There's no view bag. We could add something, but I just decided it would be easier just to have this thing shove some stuff rather than me having to think about an API for passing key value pairs, because frankly, that API is kind of horrible. So I'm gonna omit something in the head. Here's my title. Then my heading. Now we see the routing slash action type stuff. So my base route was set in the page imports, right? That was pages slash. And then when I get customers slash, I'm gonna execute this code, right? At get customers, run this code. Here's a tag helper, ASP-data tag helper that I can attach to anything, right? I pass in my model, and then I have a custom tag helper that I've written in this app, customer summary, which I pass in the model to. What does that look like? Well, here's my customer summary. Look, it's just declares itself as a tag helper, says it has a model called customer, and then I just do HTML, right? It's really, really simple stuff. Really, really simple stuff. Let's come back here. Right, so that's get customers. And then I go off and I go, okay, I want to get a specific customer. Here's my route with tokens being pulled out of the route. So now I have an ID variable that exists in the scope of this block. Make sense? Okay, so I've bound, just like it works today in MVC. I have ID, customer details would be a different partial I have that turns into a tag helper. And I call customers.get on that, really simple. Customers new, shows customers edit. Now let's do some binding. So now I've loaded the create form here, and then I post back to it. Okay, what do we do? Customers new, for post, a bind declaration. I want my customer to be bound from the input. This is model binding, okay? App bind, customer type onto a variable called customer. So now I have a customer variable. Now it's the standard, you know, view, controller sort of model view, model state stuff. If it's valid, go ahead and call customers.create, pass it in. I'll get to reload in just a minute. Else, just render the page in line again, omit the customer edit model, but this time pass in the customer and all. That's model state aware, so the model state dictionary would be there with the original value, the proposed value, the invalid value, all the validation would work, all the stuff that works today in Razor that you just get for free because of the model state system. Similarly for get, let me get a customer to edit. So that's really easy, right? Just pull one out, call customers.get, pass it into my customer edit partial. And then when I post back to that, similar before, I bind it from the post. I use customers.update, which is the new thing in EF. I can just push an existing entity into EF. Assuming that doesn't throw. There's no error handling in this sample, obviously, but you know, pseudocode. Reload that, otherwise I edit in line. So where did reload come from? So down here I have a functions declaration. I can add just functions to this page that I can call. These are just helper functions, right? We can do this today. You used to be able to do this in web pages, right? So I've just specified my reload function as taking an ID and it calls response.redirect to customers and passes through the ID as the parameter for that, okay? And then the point there is that this gets turned into a method I can call from other parts of this page. That's where we got to last night. As like looking at what we've done under the last 2 years in ASP.NET 5, and if we were going to do something that was unique, rather than just do another web page, why don't we leverage DI? Why don't we leverage Roslyn and the Script.cs model to do this type of thing. Does this resonate? Are we crazy? Is this something that people would like us to?
We're crazy.
Wow, I didn't expect that.
Yeah, I mean,
I think it's more like a highly opinionated web framework.
It's exactly, it's a very highly opinionated. If my current feeling is that if we're going to do this, we need to differentiate it. It needs to be opinionated and be a nice little tight box. It's easy to teach, very productive, it's very scripty, but we still get the benefits of C-sharp, model binding, dependency injection and stuff for free. Yes?
Can you show the part where you for each'd over the customers again?
The part where I for each'd over the customers. So in my customers razor,
get all.
In get all up the top here.
Yeah. I didn't like that.
That's fine. That was just an idea. That could be a for loop.
Why?
Because it didn't have a for loop.
That could be a for loop.
I'm thinking about teaching.
Yep.
And it was too many layers of abstraction.
Totally. So,
and I just want a for each over there.
Okay, that's totally fine. When I first wrote this, it was a for each loop. And then I went, well, if we were going to take that turn up to 11, what would we do? We'd probably have a tag helper that lets you do stuff.
I feel like that's fine. Opinionated goes too far.
Maybe. Yep. So this could literally just be a for each.
Otherwise, I love it.
Var customer in,
right.
You know, customers like dot get all.
Something that needs to be taught.
I'm thinking about the little class that we give in probably each of our local city about kids, getting the kids into programming, and those kind of opinionated frameworks just works because you don't include all the how dependency injection works. You
have
to do framework, how routing is going to work. What is classes, usings, and all those kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You're talking about those.
No.
Just talking about getting something fast on the screen.
Yep.
And those kind of very opinionated frameworks would actually work very, very good.
Yep.
And that would help actually very easily. I mean, in HTML, it's super easy to understand.
Yep.
But when you start including
code,
those tag helpers are not actually like all the curly braces and stuff that we do, except maybe for a for each.
Yeah.
And it's something else, but those kind of frameworks really helps the kids to learn very quickly, and I think that would actually work even outside of just a teaching environment.
Mm-hmm.
Super simple scenario where you just have to display like 4-page websites.
Right. The other thing I think about this is that it doesn't necessarily mean you're not telling them about what a class is. I mean, this is a class, right? Create a file, customer.csx. That's a class file. It will create you a class named after the file. So you still teach them that there's a thing called a class, and this is its members. But you don't have to go through all the verbose namespace stuff, and I have to put it here, and I have to import usings and all that type of stuff.
Exactly.
Right, so they still learn the primitives so that when they later potentially graduate to more complex systems, oh, this is just a class. I just have to do it more verbosely now because I'm a real programmer, right? You know? Right, and then similarly with dependency injection, like you said, you still teach them the concept of, yeah, this is a thing I want available in other parts of my app. Let's call that a service. So I declare it as a service, and then it becomes available to other parts of my app. Well, how do I get it in other parts of my app? I inject it, right? And so now you've taught them the verbs and the nouns that we use to describe dependency injection and IOC without having to tell them about dependency injection.
When you graduate to that,
you see, oh, there's a thing under you, like as to use Hansom's analogy, when you peek inside the black box, right? And you look under the sink and look at the plumbing, it makes sense because you've learned these things already, you just learned them at a higher level. So that's how I thought about it when I did this. It feels like it's resonating with at least a few people, so that's good. Yes?
Just seems like inline MVC, I guess I don't see where you reduce the complexity much for people, just made it all
inline. Yeah, I can see why you said that. So the comment was, it just looks like inline MVC, I don't see how it's any simpler.
My podcast is now, I've got like 18 different websites. It's just little one-pagers. People do these things all the time.
Yep.
With MVC, those are, you know, 20 files for 2 pages.
Right.
Start class, home controller,
layout,
route, layout, view.
My podcast site is a for loop over a single table.
Yep.
That's all it is.
And to be clear, like this directive at get, that is optional. That is an opinionated directive that would be in the framework. If you don't want to do that, you come up to the top code block,
if statements,
and you type at if request dot starts with, you know, like at if route dot, but it's just, you can do it all manually. This thing just generates
like
code for you.
All the little sites that people aren't using MVC for, like their church schedule or their kids' little league.
Yeah. I guess the meta point there is that MVC has an implied weight. Just because of the ceremony involved in doing MVC.
Because you need an extension to Visual Studio Code that's it's not yeoman.
But there's so much good stuff in MVC, like model binding and routing. I think you need to have access to that stuff.
Hide it.
It's here. The power of it is here.
I am.
But you're hiding it as a, yeah.
I think also get that. You're hiding all the pages, but I mean, I think if you're going to do this sort of thing, you need to be able to get data a lot simpler. I just think it's too complex.
This is not entry level?
So the other thing I would think about is look at how Rob Connery did Massive.
Sure. This is where it always gets to the point of contention. Like every time we've done this, the comment was, look at, the comments here are like, the data access, you still wrote a repository class and you're still using dbContext. I just did that as a demonstration of how to do composition.
Yeah.
I could have just built a dbContext, EF, like I have that right here.
With Massive? Like,
yeah, I know.
It's 400 lines.
Understood.
And it shows
that. We did this like four times.
But we did this four times and we already have an entire team who builds an ORM.
DB.open.
So the question is, it gets more contentious when you're talking about yet another ORM, like a micro ORM.
I'm not saying make another ORM.
Okay.
I'm saying that the stuff you had to do to get the data out, you put a lot of work into making classes have less lines.
I mean, I could have just done this.
Hide that.
Right?
You did at get. You know, give me at data set or something, or at data, and hide all that crap.
At data.
Just brainstorming. You know, you're brainstorming too. I'm just saying that DB set, that lets EF out. You know, you had a whole new concept there when you said at get, but it's like Nancy.
Sure.
Right? You need to give the same level of scrutiny to the database side.
Do you think we need to have a way that is like in here, I only need data in this file,
exactly.
Literally in this file.
DB open the name of the table and where it is.
How do I create the table? Who creates it for me?
I don't know.
Who sets up the schema?
We did this thing like 2 years ago and people freaked out.
In WebMatrix, which is what I wrote all my podcast sites in, I right click and I said new table and an SDF file.
That required a full tooling experience like the gentleman up here said.
I didn't need any more than that though. It was just like a grid.
Okay.
So if you think about VS Code or here's another idea, the database is a JSON file.
I think if the database is a JSON file, then you've instantly put not even a glass ceiling, but like a 20-foot wall in front of what this thing is capable of.
CSV.
Thanks.
Any file.
No, I'm being totally serious, right? Like if it's a church database schedule or if it's a kids' little league, SQL's too much, Mongo's too much, JSON's too much.
But okay, what I'm hearing, I personally don't think we should be trying to build a web pages framework that is only for that type of site. There is no money in that site. Like, we are not going to build that. Like, frankly, why would we as the product group...
Mindshare in that.
Mindshare is good, but...
Darn tootin'.
I'm not sure you're going to get enough... I'm not sure you're going to get enough mindshare from that type of product to warrant the thousands of developer hours it's going to take for us to build that. So I wouldn't want to limit it. I want to be able to build real sites with this because I don't like using MVC for HTML. That's just me. I like using it for APIs, but I like model binding and I like routing. So I'm not saying they're not invalid. I think it should be able to do both.
Yeah.
Dave?
The database is the problem.
Yeah,
so,
okay.
I mean, to the point of the small sites, right, everyone else just to add some perspective, I think outside of our server site community is using static site generators for that.
Yeah.
And that solves that problem pretty well.
Yep.
Did you make this static
generator?
So you weren't here for the beginning of the talk? Yeah, so one of the comments was that imagine that a system like this supported outputting a static site. Now, obviously, some of the constructs I've talked about here wouldn't work, and so with that, there would be some limits on what you could do, but all the layout primitives, things like routing, those type of things that just define how do I get to a site, how do I, or to a page, how do I link between them, all that stuff could totally be statically generated. And so we had a whole discussion about that before. I think that is certainly worthwhile, and I saw a victory raise up there. That would be kind of cool to do.
/ID, that would actually work with directories with a static site.
Yeah, exactly. That's what, totally. Routes can translate into files.
Would be submitting data and the authorization to reach those customers.
Yeah.
What would be the layers that you would need to cover? But
right.
All these data to generate
it could.
Without any issues.
Yeah.
Including with the tag algorithm you need to.
Yeah.
But
yeah, for a read-only site, all that stuff can just be turned into static files. As soon as you have something like a post, obviously that doesn't work.
Yeah.
But all the get stuff would likely work. Yeah, because it just runs all once for everything in your database. There's a lot of hands went up and then down. Sorry, over here.
So if Mindshare is not your main goal, then who is this for? because I don't think you're going to get a lot.
It's for me. I don't like MVC for using it for doing HTML. I've said it every MVP summit here for the past 5 years. I want a framework like this, but I can't build it unless there's obviously value in doing so. It sounds like different people have different ideas about why they would perceive this as valuable. Some people think it's a great learning and education tool. Some people think it's great just for the one or two page sites. Some people think it's great if we build a whole static file generator system on this. I think this should be powerful enough to build fully functional apps in, but do all the services in MVC and controllers, but just use this for all my pages. It all depends.
I think you can do all three of those. You just start small and start doing it.
Correct. I don't want that wall.
Like a basic one. And see if people like it. Do the mindshare one.
We could, yeah.
There is value in the mindshare one.
Okay.
So, do the groundwork in 8.5 that you can do such frameworks, and then create your Debian fancy framework, step into the competition.
I'm not smart enough to build this. That's why this is a text file. I give it to him like people like him.
If you got the acquisition.
Yes.
You know, the get.net down to nothing.
Yeah.
You got the Visual Studio Code and then some way that isn't Yeoman to make one of these.
I know. This is exactly Web Matrix. Like everything you're talking about was exactly the point of that effort 5 years ago. It really was, right?
Web Matrix was not. I don't think.
I'm not saying it was well executed. I'm just saying that's what was the point.
But it wasn't marketed to people. But I mean, I talked to neighbors.
Yep.
And non-technical relatives who constantly want to make web pages, and somewhere between Web Matrix and Squarespace.
I was going to say Squarespace. What's wrong with Squarespace for that?
There's people who want to poke around.
Okay.
And they're using Node.
Yeah.
Really?
They are.
To poke around? Interesting.
What editor do they use?
What do they use? Sublime? And
what editor do they use? Sublime?
Text edit.
Okay.
TextMate.
Okay.
You know, something about Node resonates.
Okay.
JavaScript.
Interesting. All right. We're 5 minutes over on this talk, so you had a break now, 25 minutes, and we're back, and I'm going to talk about performance. That'll be fun. And now everyone thinks we need to make something like this, but we all disagree on exactly what it is, so that's good. You just want .razor, right? All right. Thanks, everyone. We'll be back here at 11.
Hey, David.